Sports, wine, life. This is the Macko and Cause podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Macko and Cause podcast. It's been a little while. We promised to make this a good one because it's in person. Bob is here at the Distillery District. How you doing, Bob?
In Chateau Cause,
the
penthouse apartment.
That's right.
Or am I disclosing too much?
No, I don't care.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you're pretty insulated too. You've got security and you're on, what is this, the 12th floor, 13th, 14th?
Sure. It's like the 13th. But
sun is streaming in. It's beautiful.
People that like, I'm not stalkable. You know, it's like, oh, you better be careful, Matt. You don't want to tell people where you live. I'm like, then what? You know, like you have to have a certain level of narcissism to think, oh, they're going to track you down. For what purpose?
When I first got into radio with Georgie and Jeff, we ate the food the fans would send.
Yeah.
Because we would always talk about how we didn't really, you know, have things like food.
Yeah.
And so people, we would eat it, which in retrospect, bad call.
Well,
no, it's just a bad call. Look, if you don't know where the... You know, I have to say, though, sometimes Uber Eats, I look at the food and I go, it's a lot of trust here. It's a lot of trust here.
Yes. I've actually only done Uber Eats once.
Really?
Yeah. Well, just because where I live, like, I can walk to everywhere where I want to get food and stuff like that. So, yeah, I've only done it once, but that's because I had a hankering for barbecue. But we'll save that hot barbecue.
Honestly, there's so much to get to. I have so many questions. Now... Yes. I'm sure you've talked a lot about your trip on your radio show.
Not that much.
Okay, so
not that much, yeah.
So can we talk a bit about it?
Yeah,
you're back
from
Germany. You got back, I guess, what, last week?
Yeah, about a week and a half ago. Yeah.
Okay, so just overall thoughts on Germany and wine.
I will say this. Went in with high expectations. They were all met.
Cool.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. So in the region called the Moselle, these are some of the most famous vineyards on the earth. Like, when you look at any ranking of the most beautiful wine regions, it's always in the top three, at lowest three. And I remember we were driving and we were at the top of, you know, the hills there, and you're looking down and it's super steep. Like, think Double Black Diamond at Whistler, and the river and the little small villages, and it takes your breath away. And I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. Like, we just, the four of us standing there looking at it, and I was like, thank God, it's paid off. So that part of the trip was great. The Germans, the myth about Germans being cold couldn't be further from the truth. Very nice, very giving, including like famous vineyard owners and winemakers. They would give us so much of their time, and you know how much I appreciate when someone gives time. So that was great. The only negative, there's a trope in the wine world where everyone, like every somm, everyone who works in wine, all they do is yell about why aren't people drinking more Riesling. I was always like that to an extent, but now I'm fully leaning into it. So to everyone out there, what the fuck are you doing? German Riesling, oh no, sweetness, fuck off. The acidity, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful. Everyone should drink it. I am now that trope.
Okay, so recommend a German Riesling that would change someone's mind.
I would say, Leitz, L-E-I-T-Z. Dr. Pauli Bergweiler, Dr. Lausen.
These are names of wines.
Yes, these are names of wines. Okay. Axel Pauli. And the great thing is this was my hot take. Mosel over mimosa.
Ah, hot take. Is that like a breakfast suggestion?
Yes. Mosel, their Rieslings are like 7% alcohol. Lots of depth.
Really?
Fruit. Yeah. Oh,
can I get one at the LCBO? Because
yes.
I might do that for Father's Day.
Yeah.
I might wake up, and if the weather's nice, we'll go to the back patio.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll put a bottle of wine on the table.
It's like very European. And so, yeah, you know, low alcohol, lots of fruit, lots of depth. Better than shitty Prosecco and orange juice.
Yeah, it's 7%. That's really, that's a breakfast wine, as we've discussed on this show.
That's a breakfast wine.
I got more questions, but quick sidebar. My family is connected to the Moselle region because that's a river that runs through the western part of Germany and into France, right?
Correct.
My dad was born in Metz, France, which is on the Moselle River.
Ah.
So I have actually been to the banks of the Moselle.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it is such a beautiful region. We didn't make it to, like, it's all just lush and gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Although it's weird, because during the war, a city like Metz got the shit bombed out of it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of new buildings. And you know what's interesting? There's a lot of public parks, because they would just be huge holes, and they would fill them with little parkettes.
The World War II thing, it was only got brought up with a couple of the winemakers, and one of them said very matter-of-factly, saying, yep, this whole area got destroyed. And then he paused and he said, and it should have.
Yeah.
Like, there was this, you know, this just this acknowledgement of, yeah, should have happened.
Now, you know, my family also connects to Germany because my sister lives there. She married a German guy. They have a family there. She is, I don't know if she's fully a German citizen. She has some kind of something or other. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's a naturalized citizen just yet, but, or maybe she is, I don't know. That's her business. But the point is, we've been over there lots. It's a part of our family. And I'm with you. I thought it was going to be really officious and awful. It's actually really kind of great.
It is.
Yeah. It's like good food and the trains are on time.
Yes. The trains are always on time.
So on time.
People are far friendlier than you would think. The food was better than, like, I didn't go and going, okay, we're here for the food.
Another observation about Germany.
Yeah.
Their 20-year-olds are as good looking as our 20-year-olds, generally speaking.
Yeah.
But their 50-year-olds are way better looking than our 50-year-olds.
That is true. Yes. Yeah.
They age well.
They do. You know what? That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. Also, an interesting thing about Germans, like we would ask, why, how much of your wine do you sell to the locals? And they said, we export most of it because Germans spend their money on cars. Like, it seems like a stereotype, all the Autobahn. But everywhere we went, there was no shit boxes. The worst car would be like a Volkswagen. It's crazy.
It's the rule of nowhere to spend your money. For maximizing quality of life.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got more questions about wine later.
Yeah.
But we should probably get into the NBA final. The season wrapped up last night. What was the final score? It was 103-90.
Sure.
Golden State in six. And just general thoughts on the series and the game.
The series sucked. Every game was a double-digit win or a double-digit loss. Beyond Steph Curry. Like, to me, my memories will be Steph Curry's 43-point game in Game 4, the two-game run where Andrew Wiggins got a kabillion rebounds. That's kind of about it. Like, Jason Tatum didn't show up. Jaylen Brown up and down for it.
Ratings were low.
Yeah.
And ratings hadn't been low in the playoffs to that point, but people, for whatever reason, did not connect with the Warriors and the Celtics. Even though it's two top 10 markets in the NBA,
yeah,
people just didn't connect to this one. I think it's historically significant, but entertainment poor.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
100%. And that's sort of like my opening thought, which I was putting down some notes for. But yeah, like, it's historic because now you can have the conversation. Is Steph, do you put
Where is he?
Where is he? Now it's there's Shaq, Hakeem, Kobe. And if you want to have the conversation that Steph is above them, you are now allowed, it is a safe space to have the conversation around, like, players like that.
Four championships,
mm-hmm.
Finals MVP in his mid-30s.
Yep.
He always suffered from the fact that he was part of a great team. And that's a weird thing. Like, you know, Michael was always the best player on a great team,
mm-hmm.
but he was far and away the best player.
Yeah.
So even when Steph was doing things that were mind-blowing and kind of changing how we play basketball.
Absolutely.
With his crazy range and his off-ball movement and all that, like, God, it's like watching, it's like the movie A Beautiful Mind when John, what's his name, starts drawing and you just equations.
Yeah. Russell Crowe.
But it, like, the Golden State offense, once it's really kicking, is like A Beautiful Mind.
Yes.
God, they're all moving. I think they led the league in assists. Anyway, point is, what's fascinating to me about Steph, he's not done.
Nope.
He's in his mid-30s and he's a shooter. Mm-hmm. Think about Ray Allen. Ray Allen contributed into his late 30s. He's not finished accumulating points. He's not finished accumulating assists. He's actually a pretty good rebounding guard. His totals are going to go up and he has four rings.
Yes.
So he might be a top 10 player by the time this is all done.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, again,
he might even be one now.
I would have him over Kobe, but that's because of the efficiency. Just because Kobe wasn't really a very efficient player. Now, by the way, it's so close. It's not a slight on either to have one over the other. You know, it's a great mid-July topic.
Well, and I think one of the interesting, like, nobody has been able to contest LeBron's dominance as the player of this era.
Correct.
And he is the most physically gifted. He's up there with Jim Brown,
mm-hmm.
and like just a few others in terms of their physical gifts Bo Jackson was like this, but yes. his career wasn't long enough. I guess Jim Brown's wasn't either. But just there's certain athletes in a generation that are so physically dominant, they stand above all others. That's not Steph.
It is not.
It's not even close to
Smallest
Steph.
MVP since Isaiah Thomas. I do not recognize Tony Parker's MVP. Just like I kind of don't recognize Andre Iguodala's. Think about how different it would be if they just gave Steph that first MVP instead of Andre Iguodala. All this conversation about where's Steph's legacy before they won is like, well, he's never won the MVP before. And you have these debates when you have 3 days off between games and got to talk about something.
Okay, so I got to ask you this because this is, I feel like I'm going to ask this and then I'm going to hide behind a chair.
Okay.
Because this is one of your beauty topics.
Yeah.
How much does it matter that LeBron won his four with three different teams and Steph won his with one team?
Because LeBron went back to Cleveland and got that city a title, it doesn't mean as much as it would for almost any other athlete. And you can poke holes in that and there's maybe some hypocrisy, but I do this by case-by-case basis. The fact that LeBron went back and got that title and beat that Golden State team that won 73 games that year and were down 3-1, it'd be better if you only won it with one team. It's weird, but it's true. It's just better, but it's not as bad because at least LeBron got Cleveland won.
It's already been pointed out several times, accurately, I think,
yeah.
that this is a weird dynasty to define
yeah.
Golden State is. Because they were six finals in the last 8 years, four titles. Mm-hmm. So the numbers are there. But it took a weird arc in that they were dominant and then became the worst team in the league and then a mediocre team and then suddenly the best team in the league. And I don't know. The only other team I can think of that lost a player, came back and did this, it reminds me a little bit of the Edmonton Oilers when they won without Gretzky.
Oh, that's a good analogy. Yeah.
You know, they lost their Kevin Durant, their yep. Gretzky. But the rest of them were awfully damn good,
mm-hmm.
and they won back and won one more. And I think that title was so important to the city in a lot of ways, and the legacy of that franchise.
Just like this victory was so important for the legacy of Steph Curry.
100%. Well, now he's done it with different casts.
Yeah.
But also, the reason why this is so weird to do it in one city is because you age. Right? Like, these guys are, like, Klay Thompson's had his ACL blown out.
He's had every CL blown out.
Right? Like, yeah. like you know, he's still a good player, but he's not a great player. But that's time.
Yeah, that is time.
That's time.
Maybe he'll be better next year. Like, I got to tell you, Klay Thompson's year this year, underwhelming.
Yeah.
5-for-20 last night.
Well, and underwhelming compared to who he was.
Yes.
He was an assassin before.
Yeah.
What was really amazing about last night, and we can jump to Wiggins in a second, was it was Steph and a bunch of guys, which is what we always used to say about LeBron and a bunch of guys. This title, the way Steph did this, massive games on the road, I think all the games in Boston, he had over 30 points, including the 43-point night. This was one, you could always make the case before, yeah, but look at Steph's team. You couldn't make it about last night.
Nope, you couldn't. You have a reclamation project in Andrew Wiggins, who is very good. Often, sometimes great. Klay Thompson, underwhelming. Draymond Green, very good game six, but, you know, was scared offensively. Bench, hit or miss. Jordan Poole, hit or miss. Like, you can go up and down and find it. Yeah, like, this was a classic. The superstar carried the team. Kevin Durant got swept by Boston.
Which really looks bad now.
Yeah.
It looked bad 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It looks terrible now. I want to get back to Durant too, and then I'll get back behind the same chair because I think you'll really go off on that one.
The Durant one is that's one of the powder kegs for me. That is,
you're getting the Sam Kinison and back to school.
Yeah,
look.
Exactly.
Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
is he right?
He was not. Fuck Kevin Durant. Anyway,
there you go. But again, this goes back to the history thing. I think it's not just that it's number four, but now this really was Steph's title, and Boston was looking great.
They were
going into the final, not just offensively with Tatum rising into arguably a top 5 to 7 player in the whole league, but just defensively.
Mm-hmm.
The argument was being made early on in the playoffs. This might be an all-time defensive run to the title. And Golden State shut them down and scored on them.
Yeah. Oh, and that's another part of this chapter. It's not like Steph Curry was doing this against, you know, Matthew Dellavedova, or doing it against, like, it wasn't doing it against an offense first team that doesn't care about defense. It was doing it against a team that identity was defense first. They had the defensive player of the year, and we can quibble should Marcus Smart have won it or not, but he won it. And You know, the Boston was a weird team. They were like 25-25. When you're 500, 50 games in, you don't usually go to the finals. But they did, and they did on the strength of the defense. Again, another reason why Steph Curry, this title is the most impressive of the four that he's won.
And the other thing that really jumped out last night was it really was the same core. Mm-hmm. You know, the three main guys.
Yeah.
Thompson, Green, and Steph Curry. Because the second overall pick that they did get the year that they bottomed out wasn't even in the lineup. It's not like they picked up a Zion Williamson who completely recharged the team and changed the identity. James Wiseman wasn't even playing all year.
He wasn't.
So these are the same guys that have done this. Even when you look at the Bulls, right? Like, you had that same core. This is what makes it so impressive, right? It's like it's Scottie and Michael, and then they constantly built around them, whether it was the, you know, the Horace Grant years, the Rodman years. You know, my favorite center was probably always Will Perdue, although you can make a case for Luke Longley. They were all kind of fun.
Bill Weddington.
Bill Cartwright with his crazy free throw shooting style. Both of those organizations built around a core and just kept going.
Yes.
So I don't see how we can't talk about that core of three players in the same breath that we do Michael and Scottie.
We have to. Now, they're not at that same level. They're one tier below, but it's those three players. It's Steve Kerr. It's Bob Myers. It's like the brain trust is the same. The coach is the same, and the core three players are the same. If you know, at the very least, we could say dynasty light.
So the Patriots are the team of the millennium.
Yes.
I don't think anybody can argue that.
Nope.
With last night's win, did the Golden State Warriors become the silver medalist?
Four titles.
Blackhawks were really great.
Blackhawks, but, you know, them, the Kings, but then you also have the Penguins.
Baseball really had too much turnover at the top. I don't know that there's been one team in baseball. The Dodgers haven't won enough. They felt like they could have been, but they just didn't win enough.
And yeah, no, you absolutely can say that about Golden State, because one of the years they didn't win the title, they set a record for wins. Mm-hmm. You know, the 73 win.
Yeah, that's
team.
A good point.
So yeah, no, absolutely, Golden State is the basketball team of the millennium.
And I was thinking about this, and you might want to import this into your thought of the day, but Steph is kind of reminding me of Tom Brady in the sense that, like, obviously the disparity between being drafted, you know, seventh or eighth overall for Steph and then the sixth round, but not physically so gifted. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't look at them and say, how could this person not be an athlete?
Yeah.
They look kind of normal.
They do. Well, that's another reason why we all love Steph Curry, because he looks normal. And with Tom Brady, all it does is you go back to his draft picture where he's standing there in those shorts, you know, topless, and he just looks like a dude.
And you know, I don't know that Steph has an elite skill in shooting.
Yeah.
I don't know that Tom Brady has an elite skill as a quarterback in the same way. But what defines them both as winners is consummate execution.
Yes.
Consummate, perfect execution. And that's why the two of these guys kind of remind me of each other. You know what I was thinking on the way over here you might get a kick out of? Mm. You know who Draymond Green, I think, has become?
Who?
A football comparison? He's the Richard Sherman of the NBA.
Yes. Yeah, where, you know, elite defender, but is known as much for his mouth as for his skill. Yes, absolutely. And Richard Sherman just joined Amazon for, like, their Thursday night game. Good luck getting old people to find Amazon. Good luck getting me to find Amazon. The Draymond, Richard Sherman, it's a good comparison.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I made the case earlier that an OG for Andrew Wiggins' deal was not insane.
Yeah.
Then it looked kind of insane. Did this final redeem me in any way?
It did.
From what might be my worst hot take?
It did. Because, listen, the one thing I don't like is when everyone's like, ha, and now Andrew Wiggins, how good does it feel to shut down all the naysayers? And the question I would have asked him is, Andrew, what did you do to create naysayers? Mm-hmm. It's not like you wake up one morning and you spin the wheel and go, Andrew Wiggins, I'm going to hate him now. It all comes from something. And by the way, both things are true. Andrew Wiggins was set up to fail. He was a 19-year-old on an organization that was horrible, and he went through four coaches. What's also true is Andrew Wiggins didn't do himself any favors. Jimmy Butler recognized it, that this guy at that time was soft, and he was often defensively an indifferent player. But he goes to Golden State, and it's perfect because it's a good organization. And it's like, Andrew, here's your role. Chopper, sick balls.
The Jimmy Butler thing is interesting because look at those two players and the pedigree of both guys.
Yeah.
Is Andrew Wiggins a more talented player than Jimmy Butler?
No.
I think he is physically.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yes. Just raw athleticism. Yes. You can make the case that Andrew Wiggins is. Yes.
But Jimmy Butler is a talented guy with a Bulldogs mentality.
Correct.
And that has turned him into an alpha in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is Wiggins like going to get his ring? I mean, this is obviously just stupid speculation. But what could happen is he gets his ring. He made his point. He's got his money. How could anyone assail his legacy at this point? And yeah. He was really good in the finals, too.
He was.
So it's
he
not
was
even
great.
Like it was just a phone in. Like he was the second best player on a championship team.
Correct.
So he's got all the check marks now.
Mm-hmm.
First overall pick, blah, 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 blah. It might not go anywhere from here. Or it could be the start of an exciting new chapter.
Yeah, because the question is, he's got 1 year left on his deal. Then he becomes, you know, a free agent. And, you know, he's making like $31 million, which is still just crazy to think. But hey, it's basketball. Someone's, you know, someone's going to get paid. But the next thing, like, I wonder what he wants. Does he want to try to run his own team? Because I think that would be a mistake for him.
Huge mistake.
Because he's still, like, he's not a great offensive player. Like, he's gotten better as an efficient player, but just it is the perfect role for him if he stayed in Golden State.
Here's what I think is a best case for him and what we learned about him.
Yeah.
Previous to the deal from Minnesota to Golden State, it looked like he'd be the third best player on a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
Now he feels like the second best player on a championship team, and hopefully he stays that way. That to him is now the bar. You never expect him to be one of your top eight guys in the league or top 12 or whatever it is that defines the elite core of players. But he is now, at his best, a reasonable supplement to that player on an outstanding team.
And that puts you still in rarefied air.
So rarefied.
Yeah.
Like, and I, this is going to drive people nuts to hear this, but isn't that how we view Pascal Siakam?
Yeah, that's what Siakam is. Siakam is not a true number one. Guess what? There's like seven of them.
Yeah, it's not an insult.
No.
If you could be a top 25 player in the league, which makes you a top 25 player in the world, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And, you know, circling this back to Jason Tatum, you know, Tatum, the conversation was, oh, has he hit that top level? You know, we saw moments against Milwaukee and against Miami where it felt like it. And now he set the record for the most turnovers in an NBA Finals. He was avoiding contact. His offense was shoddy. Great passer, great defender. But to be that top level, you know, you need to do more. You need to score.
It was an interesting playoffs for him because it's like he made his reputation in the first three rounds.
Yep.
And then lost that reputation.
Yeah, it took a hit.
It took a hit, which is weird because it's like, oh my God, this is his time. He's better or at least as great as we thought he could be. Oh no, he's not. So it's like, I don't know. It's like,
it was
like 1.5 step forward, 1.75 steps back.
Yes. If Boston wins a title somewhere down the road, the conversation will be, well, Tatum, and if they do win a title, it's going to a lot be because of Tatum. And then we'll look back at these finals going, this is where he got his reps. This was the learning experience. And the learning experience sucks when you're in the middle of the learning experience. The learning experience is awesome 3 years later when you can look back fondly on the learning experience.
To bring this to hockey, it made me think a little bit of Nathan MacKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
If he wins now, we'll look back at the earlier losses and say he had to learn to get here.
Yeah.
Steven Stamkos has been that guy.
Yeah.
Steven Stamkos' hero, Steve Yzerman, was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty common trope in
Alexander
hockey.
Ovechkin.
Right. You've got to learn to win
before
you win.
Yeah.
And I personally think that's going to be Tatum's story. I do think he's going to continue to be a top eight player in the league. He's just too good.
Yeah.
He's too good.
You stick him and Jaylen Brown, you keep them together. You work a little stuff around the edges, and you give yourself an opportunity. You give yourself an opportunity to win.
They've got a great coach. They've got a great core. And
Brad Stevens has done a really good job in the management position. So you keep that core together, and then every year you roll the dice.
So did you learn anything about the Raptors watching this? This is my last question. Like, because you know how it is. When you watch and your team's not in there,
You're
always kind of taking lessons for, okay, now what's this got to do with what I care about?
Yes. And by the way, for everyone out there, Don't take Leaf lessons. At least Colorado won some playoff series and won a President's Trophy. Don't do the thing, because I know you want to.
Don't do the thing.
Well, Ovechkin was 31 when he finally won lots of playoff rounds.
Macko and Kaz is a great name for this podcast for obvious reasons, but I kind of also like don't do the thing.
Yeah, don't do it. You know you want to. As for the Raptors, the Raptors don't look like Golden. Well, no one looks like Golden State. I don't really know. It's funny. I haven't actually thought about the Raptors through the lens of the NBA Finals. And I often do. And you're right. We all do this. How does our team fit into who of our team could play in those finals games?
So here's what I got. And it was mostly because the OG Anunoby's not happy in Toronto. Rumors have been kicking around.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not.
That feels fishy. That feels like, but anyway.
Sorry. Toronto fans, I love them too. Don't overvalue them.
Yes.
Because there are other guys who can do stuff like that too. And I'm not saying he's not a valuable part of the team. Of course he is. But he might not be what the team needs the most in order to take the next jump.
Yeah.
So if he becomes like, look, I don't think Rudy Gobert, I don't want Rudy Gobert. But if I did want Rudy Gobert and OG had to be thrown into the deal, I'd be like, okay.
Do the deal.
Okay.
Yep.
Just watching Andrew Wiggins, the other thing I learned was good teams make good players.
Yes.
And good organizations make players better. And once again, you know, I think Boston's done a good job, and I think Golden State's done a great job. I think Toronto has done a really good job. And your point about Wiggins in Minnesota and multiple coaches and so much, you know, turnover and disarray and all that, it makes you wonder how many players could have been really, really good, but they just landed in the wrong spot.
It's a long list.
Like, is De'Aaron Fox one of the top guards of our era if he lands in Miami?
Yeah, he's an absolutely better player.
Super talented,
and he's absolutely a better player there than he is in Sacramento. It's why just every day be thankful that Nick Nurse and Masai Ujiri are here.
Well, and to the point about De'Aaron Fox, after they traded Tyrese Halliburton, he's averaged almost 30 points a game. Now that can be a little bit of, you know, a false stat.
Empty calories.
Yeah. Well said. But it also goes to say maybe it wasn't the right environment for him to flourish. Maybe he is a better player than that. You're just surrounding him with the wrong people or the wrong kind of coach. I can understand why athletes become cynical, because they are judged on their performance, sort of extracted from all the influences that go into that performance. We don't see it. So all we know is, you know, a guy went 6 for 19 and look like shit on defense. But we don't know that maybe before that, the GM's having a screaming fight with the coach in the hall.
Yeah.
You know?
And the coaching staff isn't, you know, doing their job in developing the player and putting together the proper plan. Tracy McGrady with the Raptors.
That's actually a great analogy.
You know, he came here and it just, the organization, you know.
Was it Daryl Walker who said he'd be out of the league?
Yeah, it was Daryl Walker. And you know, maybe Tracy McGrady would have left anyway. Just a young guy and just, you know, maybe didn't want to be in Canada. But Tracy McGrady's development, it didn't. I don't think Toronto did him a lot of favors.
Chris Bosch, they drafted him. He's one of the great power forwards in history. But he wanted the F out of here. Vince Carter wanted the F out of here. Now, you could say these guys had their flaws or their whatever, but let's be honest with ourselves. Like, the Raptors were a shit show of an organization at the time. Glenn Grunwald, it was the best GM they had over a stretch of 20 years, and he wasn't good.
Yeah.
You know, so, again, I think what we've got is basketball's team of the millennium.
Yes.
And one of the teams of the millennium. And now it's kind of just like TBD on Steph, to see just how far he can roll this out, because he just does not look like he's going to stop.
It's now all house money. It's
a great way to put it.
It's all house money for him. And also, just, this is like, LeBron is also in house money, but with LeBron, he always sort of puts himself in these positions where he makes life harder for himself.
It's such a great observation. You know, he's like that friend you have that always seems to make the wrong decision.
Yeah.
Great guy. You love him to death. You do anything to help him. But for some reason, you always have to help him.
Very successful. Yet they... Why again are you in crypto? You know, it's like... what is Dogecoin? Dude, you got a beautiful home with a beautiful wife. Like, what are you doing with this NFT of Tom Thibodeau yelling at Andrew Wiggins? Like, what are you doing?
Okay, I'm gonna stand back for this one. You know who's not playing with house money anymore? Mm. Kevin Durant.
Yeah, well, fuck
maybe
him.
The most talented player certainly, yes. People call him the most talented player offensively of all time.
Yes, and you can absolutely make it. And just for people out there who love Durant, when I say fuck him, this is this is purely in a sports perspective. I'll never forget when he won the first MVP and he was teary-eyed. He was thanking his players, and his teammates, and his mother, like, you know, in all of that. I'm glad he left Golden State, because that killed my sports happy. Because every year in the finals, Golden State, those years when I won it, there was no game sevens. There was a lot of game fives. There was no game sevens because they just crushed everyone. But I do wonder, does he look at this and realize, wow, I screwed up. I chose Kyrie and Harden, you know, and I'm leaving that organization.
It's in some ways not fair because every team is like a family and every family is different. But when you look at how Golden State didn't fuck this all up,
yeah,
but Brooklyn did,
yeah,
Philadelphia did. I don't think Boston did. I think Boston put themselves in a position after all of those shenanigans to be a championship contending team for 5-6 more years.
And the one thing they said, they were like, you know, we're fine without Kyrie.
Right?
Yeah.
But that's what I mean is, yeah, they had a lot of shenanigans. Mm-hmm. They had Gordon Hayward. Then they didn't.
Didn't work out.
Right? Yep. They decided to trade down to get Tatum when they had the number one, and they gave up on Markel Fultz, who turned out to not work out. Like, there was a lot of potential pitfalls there, and they came out of it unscathed. But you look at Brooklyn, you think, are they even good?
Yeah.
And Philly is like, who the fuck are they now?
Yeah, just the hard. If you're Joel Embiid, you're like, I play, like. If you're Joel Embiid, it's like, I have concussions and my eye is falling out, and that guy over there is out of shape. One note I wanted to make, one last thought on Golden State. Actually, no, finish on Durant. I do wonder, does he look at it and regret, or is it that the ego is like, I am so good, I can win a title here, and I want it to be my team. And if Durant's like, because the one thing Durant's always wanted what Steph Curry just got last night, where it's they won the title and it's because of that guy first, and then there's a big gap and there's no question. Like, when Durant won those two titles, they had Klay, they had Draymond, they had Steph, they had a team that won 73 games the year before he got there. He's like, Durant's like, wait, I outplayed LeBron, but you didn't have the degree of difficulty. And that's what we crave more than anything else.
And for the historians out there, in the same year, Durant was shut down in the first round,
mm-hmm,
wasn't great,
nope,
and got swept.
Yeah.
So, look, he's in year, what is it, 15, 16 now? He's getting there.
Yeah.
He's a little long in the tooth at this point. I don't see another act where he's the best player on a championship team. Not for much longer.
No. Well, LeBron and Brady ruined it for everyone else. It's like, well, why aren't you still dominating? Well, I'm 35. Yeah, but look, you know, it's ruined it for the rest of us. One final thought on Golden State.
Yeah, it's like they're German.
Yeah.
Maybe LeBron's German. We just didn't know.
Well, Kobe did go to Germany, and there was always the talk of blood transfusion.
They just inserted German DNA into, yeah, his knee.
And it made him
uber beautiful. Well, I mean, God, Kobe, before we lost him, mm-hmm, was actually getting better at life.
Yes.
I don't want to go down that
road.
No.
But yeah.
Anyway.
But by the way, we'll pivot back to this. I also did a lot of German DNA, but it's in my liver. Every great team, I always wonder how much of it is what you do, but how much of it is also you need that stupid team. Minnesota twice passed on Steph Curry to take two other point guards.
Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio.
Then years later, they trade Andrew Wiggins for D'Angelo Russell. I think you can go and look at every organization. For one organization to be truly great, there needs to be other organizations that are truly stupid. Is Brady winning all those Super Bowls if Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets had gotten their act together in the early 2000s.
Yeah, it's a great point. It is a holistic system of smart and dumb. Mm-hmm. And think about the Knicks, who desperately wanted Steph Curry,
yeah,
and he went the pick before, pick and they before. Do you remember who they got?
Was it Ronald?
It was Jordan Hill.
Oh my God.
Out of Arizona.
Ugh. Anyway.
Yeah. I want to rapid fire through a couple things
sure.
with you. Okay. I do want to talk about the Leafs
yeah.
because everybody has now picked up their heads mm-hmm. and said, ooh, goaltending. So we can get into that in a second. But just a couple rapid fires now that you've been back.
Yeah.
Okay. So I tried my annual I'm going to be a CFL fan last night.
Yep.
Flipped on the game at the beginning of the second quarter. It was 4-3.
It was.
It was 8-6 at the end of the half. And it was just an awful game.
Jay's Expos, you know, bad pitching.
It did feel like a Jay's yeah. Expos score.
So
are either
try.
Of those teams any good? Like, I couldn't even tell. There were so many mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I texted you. I said, is it possible to have two teams that can't play defense and a low score?
Yeah. Well, here's... I don't know if either team is good. I'll just get through this real quick.
Okay.
Montreal, still quarterback issues. Vernon Adams Jr., he at moments looked like this guy could be elite. Well, he got pulled in the first quarter. As for the Argonauts, they won the division last year, and they got outscored by 9 points. They were the team that went 6-0 in games decided by four or less. So they're doing it again, and we're all waiting for the regression.
And how did they win last night? I you told me, because obviously I was watching yeah. the basketball game. How did they pull it out?
Montreal missed like a 24-yard field goal. Toronto wins 20-19. The win last night looked like what they were last year. Shout out, though, Andrew Harris looked great as a 35-year-old running back. But, yes, bigger picture. I love the CFL. I write for the CFL. And the first week of the season was gangbusters exciting. That game last night was not gangbusters exciting. And the reason Toronto won was because of Montreal not being able to do the easiest thing, which is basically kick an extra point.
There were a lot of rouges.
There was a lot, may we. There
I think
was
we
a
should
lot
start
rouges.
A CFL podcast where I don't know anything and
yeah.
you know everything and just call it so many rouges.
I feel the CFL would look would not be that thrilled if I started a podcast called So Many Rouges. Because when you're, you know.
You think you might lose some of your favor?
You might as well just go So Many Punts.
Uh-huh.
You know, which, again, no one lines up for a football game.
Just an awful game.
It was.
I was
it
happy
was.
To hear Rod Smith's voice. Haven't heard it in a while.
Yep. Always great.
Always great. The panel, it's a really good panel.
Matt Dunnigan looks like hot Santa Claus.
That's a great point. He does
yeah.
look like hot Santa
like,
Claus.
You know, like Yorkville will have like in-shape Santa, fashion Santa, like wandering around.
It's like you took Darren Detition mm-hmm. and hot Santa
yeah.
and put them into a transmogrifier and
yes.
made them one person.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's a perfect way of putting it. Just the beard. I'm like, oh, okay. We're doing the beard now. We're doing this. Okay. You're doing the thing. So, yeah, he looks like he should be wandering around Yorkville in a Gucci suit.
You know, they call a good game on TSN.
Mm-hmm.
They broadcast a good game. It's
yeah.
well shot.
Mm-hmm.
They're really well produced. They've been doing it a long time, and they're experts. And they do it at a fraction of the cost that it takes to shoot an NFL game with a wider field.
Yes.
So it is a hard task to make it look so good. I enjoy the production value of it, but honestly,
the game itself was bad.
It was
oh, a bad
my
game.
God.
Yeah.
It was boring.
Yeah.
So I will try.
You will
wait,
try.
Wait. To borrow from Bart Simpson,
yeah.
I can't promise to try, but I'll try to try.
There you go.
To watch another Argos game.
There you go. Set the bar low.
Yeah. Are you watching Obi-Wan at all?
Has it started?
Yeah.
So that okay. I haven't watched it yet. You know, you get home from a trip. It takes you a little bit just to get caught up on everything. And no, but I will watch it.
I've watched the first three episodes.
Yep.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Has
it's
there...
better than Boba Fett.
Okay, good.
Different than The Mandalorian,
mm-hmm.
but kind of the same.
Yeah.
And I think I think it's better than a lot of the Marvel offerings have been on television.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think you'll love it.
Okay, I can't wait. Has there been a shot where a local is drinking a blue drink out of like a translucent cup? Has
no,
there been any?
There
blue
hasn't.
Drink
there hasn't
drinking?
Been the Star Trek. The Star Trek menu.
No. In Star Wars, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, when
yeah.
when Luke is there bitching about you know not being able to go hang out with his friends, and there's blue drink because in the 70s. Remember, in the 70s, they thought the future meant blue drinks and no
yes.
denim.
There's two things that you can always find. Well, three things.
Actually, no, you're right. By the way, you're right.
Loose,
in Star Trek as well, yeah.
Loose-fitting clothing.
Yes.
Blue drinks.
Blue drinks.
And two guys playing a game that looks like checkers but isn't.
It's so true. They're at the bar and things are whirling in the air. And you're like, this game doesn't look fun. What's going on?
And there's always a fight over the game. Someone pounds the table. You cheated.
Like, why do you go to this bar? Is there not a golden tee in the future? Let me just whack the ball and see if I can go 300 yards.
I know you're not watching Stranger Things.
Not yet, but I will.
It's good.
Good.
It's really good. The kids are crazy about it. Mm-hmm. But what's really interesting is how the 80s are so back this summer.
Mm.
Stranger Things feels exactly like an 80s show.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard of a show called Reacher on Amazon, but it was basically like an old-fashioned Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Yeah, yeah. The lead child's of the author. Yes. And like, there's like four. Do you know how I know about Jack Reacher?
Hmm.
Because I've been at the stores at an airport, and there's always like the books.
Yeah.
There's always a Jack Reacher book.
Yeah,
always.
There's Harlan Coben, a few others. They do great.
Yeah.
Brené Brown.
Yeah.
Top Gun is getting massive attention.
Oh, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I know. I'm really excited. And in the theater, too.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is, like, you and I both love BoJack Horseman.
Yes.
But BoJack was a parody of an 80s show,
mm-hmm.
which made it very 5 years ago, very 7 years ago.
Yeah.
It was like, wink, wink, remember those 80s shows? But now they're just like, fuck it. Let's just do it the way we used to do it.
Yeah.
And people are like, finally.
Yeah.
Finally, I don't have to think and I can just eat popcorn and have a good time. I don't want to know what existentialism means.
Yep.
You know,
yeah.
I can't spell miasma.
Yeah. I don't want to listen. What's going on with the environment? Wait, are we fighting about a woman and critical race and this? And hey, look, denim. And is that Tears for Fears?
He's going to punch that guy and no one's going to be mad at him about it. Honestly, like, it's not just the 80s IP.
Mm-hmm.
The smart thing you could do for the last 10 years was take old IP and do a modern take on it.
Right. Yeah.
Of course. Now people are like, fuck this modern stuff. Like, that is such a drag.
Yeah.
I just want to see Tom Cruise looking handsome, getting girls, flying wicked planes, and beating some unidentified country in an air fight.
I hear it is unidentified.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah. By the way, you cowards, pick a country. Pick it. You know you want to pick China, but you can't. You can't pick China. Like, I know that the problem is that this movie was shot like 4 years ago, but then COVID, everything, I wish they could have just like reshot some scenes and just have Putin and like have the final scene, Maverick just firing a missile at Putin. They could have spent another $100 million just CGI-ing in. We need a country.
Like Inglourious Basterds, the final act of Inglourious Basterds where Hitler gets it.
Just gets it. Oh, so satisfying. But
So it's like I call this the Ozark factor. To me, like the dark, brooding cable show jumped the shark with Ozark.
Yeah.
To me, that was like the Misery algorithm gone wild. Every component of something that creates prestige drama was there.
Yeah.
Family in peril.
Yes.
Shot darkly.
Yes.
Morally compromised lead.
Everyone dies.
Right. There are no good guys. Like, and I was watching it and I was thinking, fuck, like, I mean, I can't say it's bad, but it kind of feels cynical.
I'm going to finish it. We're on the last couple episodes. But do you know what the show that's done that for me is Yellowstone. Amy and I tried watching it and like every episode is like, this is such a bummer. It's like, Oh, so they killed that person? Oh, so the wife, she got punched and now she's in a coma? And it's like, can I have an episode where it's like, I love the sweeping views of the plains, but then there's the Asian couple that gets chased by a bear and falls off a cliff. It's like, can I just have a little bit of happy?
When you and I were growing up, sad endings were the proof that there were artists working on something.
Yes.
Right? Because sad endings are meaningful. Happy endings are for the plebes.
Yeah.
and now it kind of feels like it's not even just about sad endings. It's like, how horrible can the journey be getting to that sad ending?
Right. Yeah.
And there's always been a great misconception among smart people that things have to be bad to be intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
I think it takes a lot more guts and a lot more courage to make something fun and smart. Now, I'm not suggesting that Obi-Wan is fun and smart. Mm-hmm. I think it's fun. I don't know how smart it is. But there's also a side to entertainment where does everything have to be packed with so much meaning it can barely like pull on its own pants?
Yes.
You know?
It's why Rushmore is one of my favorite movies.
It's a great analogy. That's a great example.
Because it is fun, but it is optimistic. It's an optimistic movie, but it's not an optimistic movie. Like, come on, guys, just be yourself. It's a smart movie.
Okay, so let's see if we can do this, okay? I'm going to say the first part of the line. Let's see if you and I in sync can finish it, okay?
Okay.
Ready? I saved Latin. What have you ever done? Oh, you blew it.
I did.
You blew it.
I needed an extra second.
Sorry, and I could see your brain, like, cogitating.
I thought you were going to do...
Cogitating.
These are OR scrubs. Oh, are they? And then Bill Murray... What's wrong with having a little drink? I just wrote a hit play.
When he goes into the pool with the scotch.
Yeah.
Call back to The Graduate. But yeah, that's actually a great example. And that movie is so damn good. That's like a perfect cause movie because it's heartwarming.
Yeah.
But it's not like silly either. It's super smart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as I'm rifling through things here, let's see. We've done the 80s. We've done Thin. You know what? No, I'm good to talk. Oh, by the way.
Yeah.
Just quick thought on the Jays.
Mm-hmm.
Playing really well, gaining zero ground.
Yeah.
How many times does a Toronto team... Like, I feel like I've been living this story more or less every year since 1997.
They should have been able to sweep Detroit and then, you know, Kansas City and Baltimore. And there's always that one loss. And now twice it's been with Kevin Gausman. I think for the Jays, it's very simple. Ignore the Yankees. Just work on yourself. Hopefully, we can finally see Nate Pearson and just get ready for the playoffs. You know, they expanded the playoffs. The Jays are a really good team, but New York is just on this heater of all heaters. But it's baseball, where an 84-win St. Louis Cardinals team has won a World Series. Just focus on yourself. Focus on the on what you're going to do at the trade deadline, and don't worry about the Yankees.
All right, I want to talk Leafs, but we should probably shout out Jeff Pollock.
Jeff Pollock! I got to see him now that the barbecue season's open and I think everyone is vaccinated, and I got to go over there. If you need a lawyer, if you need legal help, our lawyer is Jeff Pollock. It's jeffpollock.com, Jeff with a G, jeffpollock.com, small boutique-y law firm, but without boutique-y sort of affectations or cost. So, yeah, if you're looking for legal help, sponsor of this podcast, really good guy, jeffpollock.com.
How good is he? At this point, he's practically pleading to do pro bono work for me.
Yeah.
That's how lousy I am and how great he is.
Have you ever gotten, like, have you crossed the I's and dotted the T's?
We haven't even written the I and the T yet to get to the crossing and the dotting.
Jesus Christ. I did my... Okay, just for the audience, give perspective. I got all my will stuff done before COVID, before we were thinking about masks or knew what Moderna was. That's how long ago I did mine.
Matt, everybody knows, with the exception of blaming people for stuff, you are better at everything than I am.
By the way, you were saying before, because eventually you're going to be going on a sabbatical.
Yes.
And you're going to be traveling.
All over.
I will say this. Vienna is the perfect Makowicz city.
I'm so excited to go there.
Yeah.
You say why, and then I'll tell you what our plan is.
Gorgeous history, tons of museums, galleries. Everything is easy to get to by public transportation.
Schnitzel.
Super clean. A lot of green space. You can the history will be there. The arts, the culture, easy to get around. Clean city, great city. The schnitzel. And the wine is great. So Vienna.
So I've been reading up about a bike path that runs along the Danube that mm-hmm. starts in Germany and winds up there.
Yeah,
and it's like just a path. There's no cars. There's no traffic. It's continuous and it's fairly flat.
Flat. Okay, flat's key because wine country usually means hills.
Right. No, this particular stretch is known for being fairly flat.
Yeah.
And there's no traffic. So I think we're going to sort of back time the date of how long it would take to get there for where we start.
Yeah.
And try to do a 3 or 4 day bike ride.
That'd be awesome.
You know, as a family.
Yeah.
So I'm back in training mm-hmm. for this. But you know how, like, you will get it, like...
When I'm going to do one more marathon.
Right.
And then I'm going to have to say goodbye to one of my good friends for a while. Weekday wine.
Oh,
weekday
no.
wine. I'm going to miss you so
You're
much.
Not.
Well, once I get the marathon booked, then you also back time. It's like, okay, for these 3 months, you know, and then for this month, you're really not drinking. And then
I'd say it's more family than a friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
It's like that friend that's been in your life so long
they're
that
like
they're
family.
Like family.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. One thing that's beautiful about Kaz, and I'm sure you've heard him talk about this stuff, but I've seen it from the ground floor many times, is when you set a goal,
yeah.
you are fucking relentless yeah. about everything it takes to get there. When you were studying, what's it called? WSET?
Yeah, WSET for my diploma, for my sommelier degree.
Every single day.
Yeah.
Every day without fail, you would find a moment to study.
Yep.
Most people wouldn't say, okay, I should bring my binder because I might have 8 minutes to study.
Mm-hmm.
But you would
yeah.
because you'll study in those 8 minutes.
Got to memorize mountains and winds and rivers and oceans.
Absolutely, utterly flawless. Like the Kobe mm-hmm. of wine.
And the irony is that because I went full tilt into the wine, I've only run one marathon since I really started studying for my right. sommelier degree. Those two things in conjunction, often difficult to do.
Yeah, maybe not even possible. But what a hero you'd be for the wine world if you drank and ran the marathon.
That would be a
for all you drinkers out there, yeah, I'm running for you.
I'm running for you. It's going to be a... but the only problem is if my last marathon, I still have to do it in under 4 hours.
We
if,
could put like a grape hat on your head.
Yeah.
And you could run for the wine drinkers.
This is for you, and just have a picture of a liver that's looking a little nervous. It's like Pat Summerall's liver.
Wow.
Old school reference.
Oh, topical.
That's for the kids out there.
Pat Summerall reference.
Jesus.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk leafies. We make our livings telling people what we think and then hoping we're right.
Yeah.
But I honestly don't know what they should do about their goaltending.
No,
I have no clue.
None. And I think that's the revelation, is that everything goes back to the fact that in a short period of time, these things happened. Tavares said yes. Matthews, Marner, and Nylander were all drafted in a very short pocket of time. Then eventually what happens is they all need money. Then they all get signed, and unfortunately, none of them go full Braden Point. And then there's a global pandemic that even now, with record revenue, it's still going to be a couple more years before the salary cap goes up. And no team... And by the way, both things are true. Shanahan has made mistakes, and Dubas has made mistakes. Like, they've all done stupid things. But no team took it in the balls more because of COVID than the Maple Leafs. And it all goes back to the fact that they can't afford Campbell. They can't. They can't afford Jack Campbell unless he does. And you don't want to give him some 5-year deal. And I love Jack Campbell. I want him back. I don't think they're going to be able to.
Okay, so many thoughts here. First of all, the way the team was designed was so that there would always be a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
That was just an inevitable consequence of being so top heavy within your cap allocation. It's like dating an actor.
Mm.
There is no autopilot.
Yeah.
Every day is some kind of work.
Yes, it is.
But it's worth it.
It's worth
it. If you're looking for fun,
yeah,
it's worth it, but there is no autopilot.
Yes.
So Dubas, every summer people go, Dubas has a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Every single summer. It's like, okay, well, he's going to have to reconstruct this roster every summer.
Yeah.
As for Campbell, here's the tricky part. Two big issues, really. How good is he? I don't know.
He's good.
No, I don't know that, because he was all-star. He was all-star, and then he was awful.
Yep.
And then he was good but not elite. So we've seen three versions. We've seen elite, shit, and good but not as good as the really good goalies. Those are the three. And that was over the course of 1 year in playoff.
What we can say is that he's not the reason they lost to Montreal or Tampa. They lost to those teams because they couldn't score goals.
But he's also not the reason why they did win, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't win because Campbell just said, I'm putting you on my back for a game or
yeah.
two.
But much like there's elite, you know, the elite in the NBA, there's only so many of those goalies.
But that's my point.
Yeah, I know. But they come
so how hard do you work? Like, we could have kept Freddie Anderson,
yeah.
who is like a competent goalie, but not particularly great.
Yeah.
You know, like, I looked at the history of goalies since the lockout mm-hmm. year. And, you know, going back to Andrew Raycroft gets the job, it's been a cavalcade of mediocrity.
Yes.
It's just unbelievable. It's, you know, with the exception of James Reimer, who was at least likable, Jonas Gustafsson, Jonathan Bernier. Like, it's just like, there's just been a lot of really mediocre goalies. And have you noticed we haven't won during that time either?
Yeah.
I think there's a correlation.
It's fair, absolutely. The best goalie the Maple Leafs have had in over two decades is Jack Campbell, a guy that they were able to get in a deal at the time. No one was that
excited.
Is he
better than Freddie Anderson, though? Like, look, I think so. Yeah. But here's the other thing. Campbell is now, like, in the back half of his career for sure.
Yeah.
And there's almost no sample size out of the first half because he didn't play all that much. It's not like we know a lot about this guy. This year was really the first year he was given a team, and there was wild variance in his performance.
There was.
So, yeah. I don't know. Like, I think some team will hire him. I think they will pay him a lot of money.
Yeah.
I think he probably wants to stay in Toronto, but he also hasn't made a ton of dough. So dough is going to matter.
It should, yes.
And it should matter.
Yeah.
So then the question becomes, how much am I willing to pay for this guy who may not be the right guy anyway?
And just to add to that, the bigger problem is that they still have to find someone to take Mrazek.
Yeah, all of this. Like
they still got Mrazek and
if he leaves and you got to get rid of Mrazek, Shelley? Is Shelley your goalie next year? Somebody's got to be. Look, it's funny. I got into a text back and forth with Jonas about this, about how hockey is it to worry about how good is our third line when you don't know who your fucking goalie is, but you're worried about paying him an extra million a year.
Yeah.
Would you rather give that to a third liner to make sure your third liner is slightly better or give it to a goalie that you actually think could win? Like Darcy Kemper is going to make a lot of money.
Yep.
But he might also help you win a title.
You know what the Leafs can't afford? They can't afford the Palats. They can't afford middle class.
Right.
And it's just, like, I've always said this. The biggest hurdle against the Maple Leafs is that Tampa and Colorado, none of their players make north of $10
million. Mm-hmm.
And Nathan MacKinnon has said, I'll take less. Like, when the problem with the Maple Leafs is two. One, they can't score in the playoffs. And two, all the great teams have a better salary cap structure.
You can argue Morgan Rielly is a fair deal.
Yes.
There are no bargains outside of that.
Victor Hedman is getting paid like just under $8 million for like the next $8 million for like the next 6 years.
It's a competitive imbalance with the fact there's no state income tax.
Yeah.
There's not in Florida, that. You've got sunshine and you get to keep your money. Or you can come to Canada, live in Toronto, where it's like eternal midnight for 4 months and minus 20 all the time. And anytime you cough up the puck or lose a faceoff, everyone in the world thinks you're Hitler.
That is true. Yep. Well, that's
what would you do?
Yeah. And you go somewhere else. The other side, though, is, hey, you get paid in American dollars living in Canada. I mean, that balances out a little bit with the tax thing.
The perfect place to play is California. Because you are famous to the only people who care and indifferent to everybody who doesn't. They used to say that about San Jose. It was the perfect place to play because it was always packed. For those 20,000 or so people, you were the most important thing in their lives. And for everybody else, they didn't care about you and you keep the money.
And that's the same thing Florida. At least California, you get taxed as much as you do here. So it's certainly with Florida. Can we just have the NHL players going, I want to be the biggest star. I went to Toronto. Why? Because I want all that smoke. But getting back to it, I have no clue what they're going to do next.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, you and I have talked a lot about this over the years, about how goaltending is, I don't know. I heard Myrtle, actually, on the Leaf Report. I was listening to the pod yesterday. He had a really great line. I love this. Maybe his best line in a long time. Sounded like a shot, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
He just said goalies are playing a different sport. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of true in a weird way. Like everyone else is performing a certain set of physical actions. You know, it's like everybody else is playing tennis.
Yeah.
But you're a sprinter.
Yeah. The weird thing is it's the most important position. And yet for another year, the Leafs are going to try to do it on the cheap.
I forget exactly how the cliche goes, but it's basically if you have a good goalie, he's 70% of your success, and a bad one, he's 100% of your problems.
Yeah.
I know I got that wrong, but that sounds like it's probably true, so let's just run with it.
Let's go with it. Let's go with that cliche. All right, we got
I got one quick thought here.
All right, we got about a minute and a half left.
Oh, well, then I'm not going to bring this up. Okay. I don't think Matthews is staying.
You don't what? You don't think Matthews is staying?
Nope.
Okay, well, we'll save that for the next. This feels like the...
How's that for a teaser?
That cliffhanger. That is a tease.
The Demogorgon's coming.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. We'll save that for next week. This cliffhanger. Same bad time, same bad channel.
I have a thought.
Yeah.
It's hard for you and I to get out to see movies and also to sync up the movies we do see.
Yeah.
I think we should start doing trailer reviews. Summer's coming. Mm. We should start doing trailer reviews.
I love it. Yeah, 100%.
So starting next week, we'll see what's upcoming. We'll text each other,
yep.
Watch a couple trailers,
yep.
And give our thoughts.
Love it. Bob, it's been ages. It's great seeing you here in person. And, you know, love doing this and love doing this face to face.
Yeah, this is so much better, Maddie. And welcome back. And I'm glad that you enjoyed the Moselle region.
Yep.
And what was it about Riesling? What was the advice again?
Oh,
take us out on this. What was it?
Instead of the mimosa, get the Moselle. Bye, Bob.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.